Subject this morning, the faithful few. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars, I know thy works. Thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Talking to the church. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Our title this morning, The Faithful Few. God tells us here in this portion of Scripture to be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. I think we need to evaluate our church. We need to evaluate our life. And just ask yourself an honest question. Am I on fire the way I used to be? Do I uplift God the way I should? See, he tells us if we will repent and take care of those things. No matter how discouraging the situation in any church, there are always a faithful few to support it through troubled times. No matter who may depart from the faith, forsake the Lord, the church, or the pastor, there's always the faithful few to stand with the Lord, the church, and the pastor. And if you've got a pastor that is faithful, I don't believe you can stand with the Lord without standing with the church, without standing with the pastor. Those three are needful. Because if you can't stand with the pastor, whoever he is, I don't mean you agree with everything he says, don't want to use the word pride because that's not the right word, but I try to give every member, I've always tried to give every member a voice, and knowing that the final decision on whatever we make, someone have to make it, and if nobody speaks up, then the pastor makes it, or the deacon board, or whoever the church has allotted. The pastor may become anxious over the church members who do not live for the Lord or not supporting the church by regular attendance, who take time to thank God for the faithful few who love the Lord, walk with him daily. They're the pillars of the church. I think the pillars of any church are the thankful ones, those that thank God for the good that is in our church. I think God will bless me if I thank God for the good that is in my life instead of dwelling on the things that I should do or shouldn't do or had done. It's time to thank God for the faithful few who love the Lord, who walk with him, who are the pillars of the church during the times of sore trials. I believe it's just necessary that it is our responsibility as a member to thank the members. Thank God for all the members. But thank God for those faithful few that hard times, bad times, they're there supporting what is right. The church of Sardis was declared to be a dead church. Their names and their existence as a church suggested life to the watching world, but before the Lord, they were declared to be spiritually deadness. I'm sure churches are in existence this morning that denies the faith, denies the word of God, denies that he built a church. And they went to church this morning, may be there right now, they'll leave feeling good and have every intention of coming back next Sunday. But God knows the heart. And God knows my heart. And God knows your heart. Whose job is it to strengthen the church? I believe if your name is on this church row, it's your job. You should never speak ill of any member to anybody outside this body. The weak church members are everywhere. They have not taken their spiritual life and their needs seriously. The world still has a grip on their affections, and they are not willing to let go of their personal weights. But we know what God says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God wants us to lay him aside. And if we be honest, all of us have some weights. Your weight may not be as huge, may not be as dangerous as my weight, but we all got weights. There's a time in our week that we put something before God that we chose. We made a conscious decision to put that before your Bible reading or your prayer life. So who are the giants? Who are the faithful few who stand out as shining examples of dedication, devotion, determination to please Jesus Christ? I said it a few weeks ago, if I'm correct, this church would not be in existence today, humanly speaking, if it wasn't for the women. Amen. When I came here in 1977, this was a lady-ran church, not because they wanted to, because the men wouldn't step up. And God blessed their faithfulness. And I thank God for it. Thank God for Sister Rita that has put up with me for all these years. I don't know why my sister's shaking her head for her, but you know, I'm not easy to deal with at times. But I always have your best interests. I have this body first, before me, before anything. God said, you know, that the church of Sardis in verse 2, to be watchful. Strengthen those things which remain that are ready to die. Strengthen. One of the things that this church needs to be strengthened, our mission fund for last year was $1,400.15. We need to strengthen that. And I bring that up because this is the first Sunday of 52 Sundays. And, you know, I was telling Tom yesterday, I was talking to him, and I said, you know, when I started that quarter a day thing, I had a big old jar and I put all my change in it. Never kept any change, put all the change in that first year. That first year when we started around February, March, we always had our mission offering, our mission at the first week of December. And we had, almost $500 in change. You know, it's, I could kept at to buy Cokes or candy bars or anything. But what I did and what I tried to set the example in front of this church, it doesn't take a lot if everybody is participating. But mission work is the heartbeat of the church. Amen. When a church stops doing mission work, fold it up, close the doors, we've lost our vision. Whose job is it to strengthen the church? It starts with the pastor. His job is to be strengthened. It's to strengthen the church by preaching the inspired word of God. But how can his preaching do anything to help those unfaithful ones who are seldom present? Weak church members are everywhere. They have not taken their spiritual life and needs seriously. The work still has a grip on their affections, and they have not been willing to let go of their personal weights. God said, as we read in Hebrews 12:1, lay them aside. It don't mean that they're wrong. It don't mean you're doing something wrong. It means that we've got to have a focus point. We've got to make sure of what I taught in Sunday school. That our lives show people around us we're different. And I'm not going down the road, you know, y'all know me. You know, we all need vacations. We all need to have some breaks in our lives, all this. But Christians need to be different. Their priorities need to be different. So who are the giants? The faithful few who stand out as shining examples of dedication, devotion, and determination to please Jesus Christ. This is the important, especially to those young in the faith. You know what God said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12? 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. God said, 1 Timothy, let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their homes and houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. I think of two men, Brother Sam down at Landmark, Brother Bumpus, before God took him home. They did deacon work without holding the office of a deacon. Deacon work. Every man in this church ought to be doing deacon work. God will bless you. He'll bless the church. But he will bless you as well. He will bless you. Sardis had a few people who will be given special privileges of walking with the Lord in white because they were known to be worthy. You know, what amazes me, you know, is that like people think everybody in hell is going to be in the same heat dome. Everybody in heaven is going to be alive. It's not in the Bible. It says not there. God told that church of Sardis, they had a few who will be given special privileges of walking with the Lord in white because they were known to be worthy. Jesus is not talking about being worthy of salvation. but walking in a worthy way. See, you got to realize that you woke up this morning because of God. And we share things. We share medical, we share diets, we share things that will help us. I believe one of the reasons that I'm as healthy as I am, to be in as bad a shape as I am, I eat honey on everything. I take 2 tablespoons of honey every morning. I take 2 tablespoons of honey every night. I think honey is a natural sweetness. It's good for you. It'll help you. It'll make you feel good. And then I came across a little bottle of oil, and now I don't take pain pills for my leg. People say, you're not going to take it all. You don't know me very well, do you? What's different between taking 2 or 3 drops of oil and 4 or 5 bufferins a day? What's the difference? We become so spiritual that we're no earthly good. I know a family over there that this old gentleman, he's 88 years old, the same age Brother Clyde Hancock when he passed away. And when he gets a cold, he makes a little bit of whiskey, a little bit of lemon juice, a little bit of vinegar, and he never goes to the doctor. And his whole family got religion, but they don't have Christ. And they'll say, can't you talk Peppa out of that? He's going to die and go to hell. But yet we go down and get NyQuil that is 90% proof. Am I preaching? It won't go big on sermon audio, but it'll go big with the Lord. You are what you eat. We need to eat right, rest right, drink plenty of water, breathe fresh air when you can, and thank God for all your blessings. Amen. Church authority has had some members that were worthy, and God said they were. 1 Corinthians 4:2 said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A person trusts with managing the affairs of someone else. Stewardship may be better understood by the parable given by Jesus. You know what he said in Luke 19:13? He gave his servants some gifts, some talents. He said, occupy till I come. And when he came, what are you done with? There's no doubt in my mind we're going to stand before God one day and God's going to say, Steve, I gave you this talent, that talent, that talent. What did you do with it? He gives us ability, not so we can tell everybody how smart we are and how intelligent we are, but to be used in the family and kingdom of God. And if you're by force of part of a New Testament missionary Bible believing Baptist church, it's supposed to be used in that body for God's glory. A steward is a person trusted with managing the affairs of someone else. Stuff comes through the grapevine every once in a while, and most time I develop loss of hearing, because it only discourages you. But why should the pastor know about everything that's going on financially in the church? Because I've got to give account to God. Amen. God said, have you gave those talents? And then Luke 19, verse 13, I want you to read that. It's just a few little words here, only four words, I believe. Luke 19, verse 13, knows what God said. See here, Luke the 19th chapter. And the 13th verse, he said, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 talents and said unto them, occupy till I come. Use those talents till I come. Now, you may not be able to do a lot of things you used to do. But you can still pray if you're alive. Amen. Amen. If you got a sound mind, you can still pray. And I got goals for 2019. And my wife and I sat down and I said, it's very important to me, Dora, that you take care of yourself, that you're able to stay by yourself some nights, because I've already promised God, as soon as it gets pretty, I'm going to knock on doors until I get tired. Because that's how church grows. Two by two, you go out, and nobody you talk to may come, but he'll send somebody. Visitation. That's your main part of that mission fund. So that we can get members, so we can support more missionaries. This meant that they were to invest the pounds wisely to show a profit for their noble master upon his return from a distant business. I always go back to IBM. I was thankful to work for IBM when I had the privilege to see on tape the founder of IBM, Mr. Watson. And he said, answering questions, and he said, what do you give credit for IBM being so successful? He said, I'm a tither. I'm a tither. That's the only answer he said. Because he knew that his business was successful because God blessed it. Here's our question. Are we faithful stewards of our master's business in this church, which is his body, to whom we owe diligence and to we show some life? What is your goal for 2019? Discipleship. Discipleship. God tells us, back in our text there in Revelation, God tells us that in the sixth verse, the Lord calls upon the Sardis church people to open their ears and hear the message. We have ears, let us hear. And if you're saved, you hear a different message than a lost person hears. That Tuesday morning when God saved me, I heard a voice nobody else heard at that particular time. Listen to what he's saying. Are there members of our church who need to wake up from a spiritual stupor, from spiritual laziness, spiritual deadness, uselessness to the Lord? Now, I don't know who I'm talking about. I ain't been talking about nobody particular. I'm preaching you what the Lord gave me. And if nobody else needs it, the one doing the preaching does. We can get lost on what we've done last week, last year. But what are we doing now? We can go to sleep on our morals, what I've done. You know, I don't buy that case. You know, I've done my time. Now I'm going to pass it on to someone else. My buddy Hancock, he preached when the people in the church ran him out. He preached when the church didn't have enough money to put gas in his car. And he'd get behind the pulpit and he'd preach the gospel as it is to us sinners as it were, and tears would come down his eyes. Brother Harold Harvey, I listened to him last night on sermon audio. Good day for the Lord come back, amen? Good day for him to come back. You don't hear sermons like that no more. Brother Sidney Fisher. Brother Al Gormley. Brother Bill DeRossi. We'd go on and on and on. Brother Ross Raines. Don't have these men that I had the privilege to sit under at Lexington Baptist College and tell it like it is. And some of those, where are they now? This church can forsake God in a heartbeat if it don't keep his eyes upon the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Notice what God said. Ephesians 5 verse 14. Wherefore he said, awake, thou sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Who is this letter written to? Written to the church of Ephesus. It's written to a Baptist church. Amen. And God is saying, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that he walks circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, why? Because the days are evil. No. Seems like that I talked to some of the family and they said, you know, 2 years ago it seemed like the Brother Hancock said, everything changed. We'd be here today knowing who we are and what we are and what we believe, and in the morning don't even know who we are. Always remember Brother Ward. An old black Baptist preacher would say, you know, you today can be the, you know, it's just what everybody wants to be. You can be the greatest chef in the world. Wake up in the morning and not know how to fry bacon. Thank God. Don't you? That I know who I am. I know where I live. I know why he saved me. God said in Ephesians chapter 5, he said in verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that he walks circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We know that the Lord can come at any moment, but I don't think the average American, only thing they see about gun control is that, oh, you don't need to hunt anyway, you don't need to practice shooting anyway. When they take your guns, only the enemy will have the guns. God said, protect your family. I believe that, Brother Vance. I can't preach it in my church. Then you need to get another church. That's as much truth as any other. God said, it's my responsibility to protect my family, my house. Now, what did God say? You know, he tells us here that, see then that he walks circumspectly. Means discreetly. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is, let your little light shine. Amen. You may be a 15 watt, the person beside you may be a 25, the person across the aisle may be a 50 or 100, but you know, when that little 15-watt bulb is working, it's perfect. God don't give us all the same amount of light. But he didn't save you so you to say, I'm going to heaven, thank you, Lord. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. God, there are a few names in every church who have not defiled their garments. I want to be part of that few. Don't you? Amen. I want to be part of that few. I want to be in good standing with the Lord when he comes.